You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Hosted by Landon Nelson, Owen Pulley, and Trey Hanna.
Had a little bit of technical difficulties there. My headphones went down and I thought we lost sound. I'm sorry about that.
You're all good, Owen. Good morning, right?
Levels are good. Levels are good. We're all good. All right, let's go. Let's try that again. All gas, no brakes.
Take two.
Right, here we go. Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, also known as Big Nelly, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, the legendary Owen Pulley. Say hi, Owen.
Hi, everybody.
Last but not least, you guys know him as DJ Trey.
Hush.
The one, the only, Trey Hanna. Say hi, Trey.
Good morning. I'm not awake yet.
All right, here we go, folks. Now let's dive into your NASCAR news. On September 3rd, Noah Gregson won at Darlington Raceway. Gregson won his fourth race of the season, one of the most thrilling and exciting races so far this season. Noah Gregson, 2021 NASCAR Cup Series champion Kyle Larson and Sheldon Creed were all neck and neck battling for the win at Darlington with one lap to go. Larson and Creed made contact going into turn number one with Creed hitting the wall.
Then, that was a bad wreck.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was one of the most thrilling races of the year so far for Xfinity Series.
That wreck from Cars, like the movie Cars.
I don't think it was like that, bub. I don't think so. Well,
it looked like it to me.
Okay. Then on the backstretch, Noah Gregson made it three wide, passing Kyle Larson. Next, Sheldon Creed and Noah Gregson were side by side going into turn number three. Suddenly, Sheldon Creed blows a right front tire, slamming into the turn four wall, and he actually took the lead. I'm going to be honest. He took the lead going into turn number four with a blown tire. And then, coming out of turn number four, Noah Gregson took the lead and passed Sheldon Creed for his fourth win of the season.
You good over there?
Yes, sir. I'm good. I'm good. Whew. So, it was a thrilling race for the Xfinity Series. It was overall a great weekend for racing, IndyCar, NASCAR, and Formula One in general. It was very exciting.
There was also, here in Indiana, the World Series for drag racing.
It was Grand National.
So I could hear it from my mom's hospital room and my house.
Yeah,
in
you could hear it from my house. Yeah. We live like...
I heard it in
we
Brownsburg.
Down the road. You literally take like one turn out of our neighborhood, go down, take a left, and like just go straight for a little bit, and you're there.
Oh, you live close to IRP?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very thrilling weekend for racing.
I didn't think you should play music. I turned on Mike before. I didn't know he was playing music.
Come on, guys.
Come on, Gary. Right, yeah, come on.
Come on. All right, okay. This is not.
Let's lock in, all right, guys.
Everyone, lock in, please. All right. On September 4th, NASCAR Cup Series driver Eric Jones won at Darlington Raceway. It was Jones' third career win, and it was Jones' first time winning since 2019 at Darlington Raceway for Joe Gibbs Racing. It was Petty GMS's first win since Eric Almirola at the 4th of July Daytona race in 2014. So it's been a while since Richard Petty and Petty GMS have won a race.
And I believe, isn't that the 43 car?
Yes, sir.
So that was the 200th win. I did read a stat that was the 200th win for the 43 car, and Richard Petty has 192
of those,
and then the other eight are just by other drivers with that. So 200 wins for the 43 car in NASCAR, which is pretty big news.
Yeah. All right. One of the most bizarre things about Eric Jones winning at Darlington Raceway last Sunday was that it was 55 years ago to the day that the 43 car was in victory lane at Darlington Raceway. But only this time, 55 years ago, it was the king, 200 race wins and 7 championships, and team owner of Petty GMS Racing, Richard Petty, in victory lane. Now let's see how the Darlington race affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. This place, a place too tough to tame, was not kind to playoff drivers at all this weekend, with points leader Chase Elliott and the Indiana boy Chase Briscoe wrecking out of the race. Yeah, Chase Elliott fell from first in the standings to ninth in the standings after crashing out at Darlington. So he was the overall, regular season champion. He was given those 15 extra playoff points to give him a buffer going into the playoffs. He crashed out. He fell all the way back to ninth in the standings. So a rough weekend for Chase Edge. He's going to have to bounce back at Kansas next weekend. So next, Kevin Harvick's car caught on fire. It caught on fire during the race. It even caught on fire in the dash of the car, which is insanity and very, very crazy. He was very unhappy in a interview that NBC made with him. He was very unhappy, and he showed his displeasure of the next-gen cars. This was also very... This was also very...
All right. My bad. He keeps saying... All right.
This was also a very crazy and bizarre thing that happened during the race was Kyle Busch. His car just suddenly... His car just suddenly blew up. Like, his engine blew up and on a caution lap. I was like... So, Martin Truex had engine failure with his car during the race. Like, he was leading, and then somehow... He blew an engine, and he was out of the race. And then during the caution laps, you know, Kyle Busch took the lead away from him. His engine blew up. So maybe it has something to do with Joe Gibbs' equipment or the reliability, which it was crazy because Kyle Busch, he looked like the driver who's going to win the race. He led a race high of 155 laps that race, which is crazy. He had one of the best cars of the race, and... It sucks for him. He's only won one race this year, and it was on like an all luck race where Chase Briscoe and Tyler Reddick spun out going for the win at the Bristol Dirt Race, and Kyle Busch kind of just swooped in and took the lead away on the final lap. It was kind of like a good luck win. So yeah, it was crazy. So. Now let's see how the first race of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs at Darlington affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. So now, first place is Joey Logano with 2,065 points, and he's 38 points above the cut line to make it in the round of 12 at the moment. Second, William Byron, who has plus 32 points with 2,059 points. Third, Denny Hamlin with 30 points with 2,057. Fourth, Christopher Bell with 28 points, 2,055 points. Fifth, Tyler Reddick with 23 points, 2,050. Sixth, Ryan Blaney with 20 points with 2,047 points. Seventh, Kyle Larson with 17 points above the cut line with 2,044. Eighth, Ross Chastain, who's plus 15 above the cut line with 2,042 points. Ninth, Chase Elliott, who was the points leader, falls back to ninth with only 14 points above the cut line. So, rough weekend for Chase Elliott with 2,041 points. 10th, Alex Bowman with 10 points above the cut line with 2,037 points. 11th, Kyle Busch, who only has 8 points above the cut line. And then 12th, Daniel Suarez had a rough weekend as well. Him and Christopher Bell made contact, and he hit the wall, and he fell all the way back to the back of the field with... He is plus 2 points above the cut line with 2,029. So now 13th is Austin Cindric, who's only 2 points. He's only down 2 points from Daniel Suarez, and he can make the round of 12 if he does really well in these at Kansas next weekend and the race after that. Then you got 14th, Austin Dillon, who's only 4 points off the cut line with 2,025. Then you have 15th, Chase Briscoe with 2,019. And then I'm a huge Kevin Harvick fan. He is last in the round of 16 at the moment. 16th with minus 13,016 points. So two more races left to go in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Kevin Harvick's got to step it up. You know, he's only 13 points back. So, you know, if a couple other guys have issues during the race and not run well, he could eventually make the round of 12 and then progress to make the round of 8 and hopefully make the round of 4, because that'd be amazing, because I'm a huge Kevin Harvick fan. So NASCAR Cup Series racing will return next weekend from Kansas Speedway on September 11th. Xfinity Series will return on September 10th. Well, folks, that's all the NASCAR news we have for you this week, folks. Now let's turn it over to Trey with the IndyCar news. Take it away, Trey.
All right, so for first, it's a really close three-horse race for the championship between after Portland because of the Power, Newgarden, and Dixon trio trying to take it. And but Chip Ganassi could have the advantage going into the final week of the season because of the fact that Chip Ganassi is like a really good NASCAR team.
IndyCar team.
My bad. I keep mistaking those two. But they decided to test at, I don't know how to say
it. I got you. Laguna Seca.
Thank you. Instead of Portland, because of the fact that they know Laguna Seca better than Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chip Ganassi has more laps on Laguna Seca than their championship rival Team Penske. So the test laps could pay off. But it depends on Chip Ganassi and Scott Dixon winning his seventh IndyCar title.
So, yeah, it could be huge dividends to that.
Yeah.
You also talked about Scott McLaughlin. He won at Portland this weekend, his third win of the year. He dominated that race. Yeah, he started on pole. It was really great to see.
It was a good race. I watched.
Trey, could you talk about the point standings of the championship, how close it is at the moment?
I got you. Currently, point standings are Will Power with 523 points, Joseph Newgarden with 503, Scott Dixon and Joseph Newgarden tied at 503, Marcus Ericsson at 484, so Scott Dixon and Mark Ericsson, teammates actually, are close in standing, and then Scott McLaughlin is 482, my bad.
You're good.
Alex Palou is in sixth with 457 points. Pato O'Ward is in seventh with 456 points. And Colton Herta in eighth with 362 points. Alexander Rossi in ninth place at 361. And Felix Rosenqvist, 360. So it all depends on the next race
It's a three-horse race at this point for the championship. I really hope it goes Team Penske's way, either Newgarden or Power winning. Power has came close to winning another championship for so many years now. He's only won one, which is crazy. And he's a fantastic qualifier, so if he really qualifies well at Laguna Seca, he should do really well. I just hope a great race for Team Penske. So
yeah,
they haven't. And last time they won a championship was 2019. So yeah, I'm hoping that
it's been a while.
It's been a couple years. So I hope they get one up on Chip Ganassi Racing. Mm-hmm. So either Newgarden or Power takes it. Yeah. It'd be awesome. Nice to see that. I'm not a Dixon fan, but it'd be really cool to see him win seven titles because it seems like all the greats in motorsports have won seven championships. Schumacher, Dale Earnhardt Sr., Richard Petty, Jimmy Johnson, and you now have Scott Dixon. You can go for seven. So, Owen, what do you think about all this IndyCar news, the championship, and yeah?
You know, I think it's going to be big for if Dixon takes home that title, Power takes home that title. It'll be big to see that. I'm excited for the end of the season. Yeah. It's a three-horse race like you guys were talking about. I'm just excited overall and really can't wait till next season.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're going to go on a break real quick. Up next, we'll have Owen talk about your Formula One news and what to stay tuned into, what happened last weekend in the Netherlands race, and just all your Formula One news here on WBDG 90.9, your station for variety.
So, yeah, we're going to go to You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC and then come back. here on All Gas and No Brakes, Indy's John 90.9.
Welcome back, folks, to All Gas, No Brakes. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We just covered your NASCAR news with Landon Nelson. DJ Trey covered your IndyCar news. Now we're moving on to Big Owen with your Formula One news. Take it away, Owen.
Yeah, so Formula One raced at... I hate when you do that.
Owen Pully.
Formula One raced at the Netherlands last week. Max Verstappen's home race... could really say back-to-back home races as he is Belgian-born. He is Belgian-born, but is a Dutch man. They raced at the Netherlands. Verstappen wins his home race for the second year in a row.
Yes, sir.
And with that, he leads by 109 points in the standings. Another disappointing Ferrari
race. Oh, my gosh, dude. Oh, you want to hear something else very disappointing with Ferrari?
What happened?
Okay, get this. So, not only the race...
Are you talking about the truck?
Yeah, not only the race team isn't doing so well this year, but their truck...
It
broke down on the way to Monza this weekend for the Italian Grand Prix. It broke down.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Like, you're not doing so well on the track, and then your truck...
I have a question.
Like, it's sad.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
How many tires do you need to operate a car? Four.
Four, yeah.
So why didn't Ferrari have three ready for Carlos?
That's so...
They couldn't find the last one.
I don't...
Where's the tire?
They were like, where's the tire at?
What's that? Oh, remember Cars?
They were like, we're tired.
He's like, remember Cars? Like, I don't need tires. You need tires, you idiot. And he just goes on.
No tires.
No tires, just gas. You need tires, you idiot. And he's like,
they got three tires. One meme that I saw where it was like, you ever seen like the gorillas or like, not gorillas. They're like chimpanzees. They might be gorillas, but they're like, have like the hammers and the helmets
on.
They had like those gorillas with like the hammers and the helmets. And they had like, they were holding like three Pirelli tires. There was three gorillas and they were like, wear tire.
That's terrible. Like,
how are you going to be a professional Formula One team and not have four tires ready?
It's sad for Ferrari. Like, I feel bad for Leclerc. Like, I feel terrible for Sainz too. Like, if I'm Leclerc right now,
I'd fire all my crew.
Speaking of Leclerc, Perez tied him for the standings for second place. So Red Bull is probably going to take a 1-2 or take the 1-2 in the drivers' championship. It'll be a constructors' win.
That's terrible.
Like, Ferrari has a better car.
Yeah, it's like I'm shaking my head. Like, I'm a Ferrari fan, and it's like I want Leclerc to do really well, and he has the equipment. It's just the team management. And Nico Rosberg even like commented on this. 2016 champion with Mercedes. He commented that there has to be some, personnel changes. He went at he didn't really go at Binotto about it, but like he kind of was like, there needs to be some personnel changes, and Binotto's got to do a better job of like managing his team, because that's what you have to do if you're the team manager. And I heard like he's kind of like the engineer type guy, like the quiet type of person. So, what is your take on that?
I think he needs to be done.
He needs to be done.
This is last year. He needs to be gone. He needs to be done anywhere like that. And I just think that he needs to be gone. But I do want to talk about next year, some possible F1 seats open. We're talking about that a little bit. So obviously now Verstappen and Perez are at Red Bull.
Yeah.
Leclerc and Sainz will be at Ferrari. Right,
yep.
Hamilton and Russell at Mercedes. Norris and Piastri at McLaren. Bottas, and there's an open seat at Alfa Romeo right now. We'll have to talk about that. Guan Yu Zhou, I don't know if he's going to resign though. They might resign him. I think they will.
I think they will. They'll give him a couple years.
I think they. Yeah. He's still got to prove himself. I think there's been
a lot of reliability issues with the Alfa Romeo car. I think they've,
especially with Guan Yu Zhou. I think that he's had more reliability issues than Bottas. But I think that Bottas has been kind of like,
his reliability issues have been bad too.
His starts have been not great.
Yeah, it's been at the beginning of the season, Alfa Romeo looked to be a team contending for fourth in the constructors.
Right. And now they're
yeah, because there's going to be, because you remember Bahrain, mm-hmm. Bottas qualified P4.
Right.
And then,
finished what, P6?
Yeah, no.
P7,
I think P5, I think it was P6, yeah. And then Magnussen finished P5. A great comeback race for Magnussen, Haas, for Haas, yeah. But they look to be the threat for fourth in the constructors, and now with the reliability issues, it's just is not, you know, they could have had points at Azerbaijan. Guanyu Zhou is running in the top 10. Reliability issues, Alfa Romeo, they look to be, you know, contenders for fourth in the constructors, just with the reliability issues, it's been horrible.
I do want to say with Guanyu Zhou, I'm just glad that he's alive after that terrible Silverstone accident.
Oh my God.
I'm glad he's still surviving after
that was a horrible.
Russell clipped him and he went upside down, hit the wall, skated upside down the whole time, and landed on the halo. Yeah. And just glad to see that he's still alive and racing. But moving on to more driver's seats, Alpine still an opening, but I do believe that Pierre Gasly is going to be
Pierre Gasly.
I believe
I
that's
thought
what's going to happen.
He resigned at AlphaTauri. He didn't. No,
no, not yet. But I think that he's going to resign or not resign. Sign with Alpine. Alongside Esteban Ocon. And I think that AlphaTauri is talks about Yuki Tsunoda there alongside, get this, Colton Herta.
Colton Herta, yeah, I heard about that.
It's just he's in the works, I believe, of getting a super license.
Yeah.
If he gets the super license, he'll drive F1. But if he doesn't, he won't, because you do need the super license to drive an F1.
Colton Herta is a great driver. I mean, he has the potential to be great. I mean, we've seen glimpses of it. It just has not been consistently. He's had a lot of airs going for the win. Nashville, you had Long Beach. He's crashed. And Colton Herta can be, I think he can be an IndyCar champion. I think he can, you know, contend for IndyCar championships. The equipment this season at Andretti, the reliability has not been great this season at all. So I hope for the best for Colton Herta. I think he can be a champion in IndyCar. I just said that. But I hope that if he goes to Formula 1, he has success. And AlphaTauri is getting a great driver. When was the last time we saw an American racing in Formula 1?
2015 was Rossi, but he was a fill-in driver.
Fill-in driver? Who was he filling in for?
I have no idea. I just know that he was a fill-in driver a couple years ago. But he could be paired alongside Yuki Tsunoda with Colton Herta. Haas, Kevin Magnussen, and don't really know yet, could be Mick Schumacher. Mick Schumacher there's a couple little things with him. It's said to be he could sign with Williams, which I think he shouldn't. It's a big downgrade.
Yeah, I don't think he should sign with Williams.
He's a good driver, and I don't think that he should downgrade to that. But
Williams has showed glimpses of potential season. Look at Belgium.
With Alex Albon, not really with Latifi.
Their straight line speed was the quickest out of everyone, out of all the teams. The slowest car on paper was the quickest on the straights at Belgium, which is they went on to have a points finishing day.
And
maybe there's something with Williams that we just don't know yet, that Williams may be building a great car next season and contending for points. I mean, I think they got the guy in Alexander Albon. I think he's a great driver. I think he's going to hopefully return, you know, Williams back to the midfield battling positions, and hopefully eventually become champions again. I think the last time they won a championship was with Villeneuve in the 90s?
Something like that.
So,
but
No, Damon Hill.
Right. In the early 2000s, correct?
Late 90s, yeah.
Late
90s. I don't think they won in the 2000s.
Oh. But another thing with Mick Schumacher, he's ending his Ferrari, or will set to end his Ferrari
Driver Academy
contract, which could be big because, I mean, he's not with the Ferrari team anymore, like underneath.
Because basically, now you have Alfa Romeo, Haas, and Ferrari are all in the academy. So I know that Haas said they are not leaving Ferrari. That's what they said. They are not going to switch manufacturers. They have a good relationship with Ferrari. They have a headquarters in Italy, and a lot of Ferrari's employees, that they're working at Haas now. they have a good relationship. So Gunnar Steiner was like, yeah, we're not going to leave Ferrari. We have a great relationship. We just got a headquarters in Italy, so they have a good relationship there. I don't know. It'd be really bizarre to see Mick Schumacher go to Williams. But, you know, whatever, you know, it's his career and, you know, whatever is best for him. So what else you got?
I also have some talks about Ricciardo going to Haas. I don't think that he should.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
he said he's not going to drive IndyCar.
He could go to Alfa Romeo. He could go. I mean, he's not going to Alpine, obviously.
No. Did they say he's not going back?
Well, he could, but I don't think he will. I think that Pierre Gasly is going to go. He could go to AlphaTauri if Colton Herta doesn't give him a super license.
I don't know.
But
it's rough for Ricciardo right at the moment because he said he didn't want to drive IndyCar. He's not the ovals, at least.
Right.
But we did know that Zach Brown, he did give him an offer to race an IndyCar. That was true, to race an IndyCar, but Ricciardo declined that, and he said he didn't want to race the Oles. But, you know, worst-case scenario, he'd go down to IndyCar and race in the States and race the road courses, at least, you know, do something like that. I'd love to see him in IndyCar. It just, I mean, I get he doesn't want to race Oles. He's raced road courses his whole entire life. So, and I think he might, I don't know if he feels, I know Verstappen feels that the Ovals are too dangerous. That's how he feels. And maybe that could be another reason why Ricciardo doesn't want to go to IndyCar, because he feels the Ovals are too dangerous. But, I mean, it's just, I hope Ricciardo can find a seat. I don't really want him going to, like, AlphaTauri or Alfa Romeo. Like, those are kind of, like,
mid-level
teams. Junior teams, sister teams. He won't be contending for, I think he could contend for points on a regular, but it just, Alfa Romeo with their reliability issues, and AlphaTauri they have had a rough season.
I do want to touch on them in a little bit, but by the way, you're listening to All Gas No Breaks on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But yeah, I don't know where Ricciardo is going to go, but a couple, and then the last two, obviously you have Aston Martin, you have Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll on that team.
Lance Stroll staying.
His dad owns the team.
So.
But Fernando Alonso kind of getting up there. This will probably be one of his last years in F1.
Yeah.
And then Williams with Alex Albon and most likely not Nicholas Latifi. I don't think he'll have a seat in F1 next year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What do you want to touch on the Netherlands race with Mercedes?
I do want to talk about it. There was a thing in Mercedes. There's couple things going on, and it was
hard.
Interesting race. Bottas came out immediately, left the race.
He retired. Yeah. Another Alfa Romeo reliability issue.
Yeah, another Alfa Romeo reliability. But I do want to talk on the big thing with Yuki Tsunoda. Got in the pit lane, went in the pit lane, got out of the pit lane, thought that his tire wasn't on correctly, so he got out, undid his seatbelt, got out, got back in, and then went to pit lane. And then he stopped on track, undid his seatbelt, got back in his car, tightened his seatbelt, went to the pit lane, got a new tire on, and then went out and stopped on the track again, and ended up retiring from the race, which a lot of people are speculating, a lot of Mercedes fans are speculating that there's like a thing that Red Bull told AlphaTauri to tell Yuki to stop to mess with Mercedes.
Wow.
But that's a conspiracy theory that I think Mercedes fans are going with.
Wow.
I don't think they're going for that because you have a 109-point lead for Verstappen.
They must not like Hamilton or something.
But I think with the Drivers' Championship, you have a 109-point lead. If they find the slightest bit of evidence, if the FIA finds the slightest bit of evidence he did, you're done.
You're
Red Bull's done.
Yeah.
And Leclerc is celebrating his first ever Drivers' Championship.
Was that what they're going to do? Is that
that's the conspiracy theory that Mercedes fans are going with? I don't believe it. I think that there was nothing, no harm done with Tsunoda. I think that was a legit situation. You know what I mean?
But you know how Helmut Marko is. I mean, he's an interesting figure. That's to say the least. We're not going to go into details
about
that guy.
So. Another thing that did happen, I believe it was. Hamilton and Verstappen were racing, Hamilton and Perez were racing. They're going back and forth. And there was a thing, a lot of Mercedes fans were mad about this too, is that Sebastian Vettel did come out of the pits and like came right in front of them when they were racing. I don't think a four-time world champion is going to do that. I mean, I think that was partially on Aston Martin's fault for not letting him know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm not saying that he can do no wrong because he's a four-time champion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's a four-time champion.
He has some awareness. He has the experience. He knows what he's doing.
Right. I don't think he would have done that on purpose to get out in front of him. But interesting race.
Yeah, it was a rough race for Mercedes fans like me. I was heartbroken because
I'm a Ferrari fan, so I'm numb to the pain.
Yeah. Mercedes had a shot to win, man. I'm telling you, they had a shot.
I want
to
see Lewis win one race.
I thought that Hungary and now the Netherlands, this was a shot because the Mercedes on paper and during the race were better on tires than Red Bull was. They started on the mediums and they went longer.
Did you see the F1 meme? It was like it was a picture of Lewis and like the Vietnam War flashback thing, and it was like, all right, Lewis, Max is on soft and new tires. It was like flashbacks from
Abu Dhabi. That race was so painful to watch. It still is like
the last year's driver's championship.
It's like a thorn going into my side. Like it hurts because. Yeah.
Fresher, softer tires will always pay people.
Oh, my gosh. It's like...
But there was also an interesting
Latifi,
thing.
Latifi, like, you spun out and crashed. And then, I mean, Verstappen could have had the lead, but I'm trusting my seven-time champion with the...
Latifi has a Mercedes engine.
Yeah. I would have trusted my seven-time champion to come down pit road, get tires. I know he would have gave up the lead, yes, but... Well, honestly...
I mean, that was last year.
He got messed up because Michael Massey. What are you doing?
I'm glad he's out.
Yeah,
I'm
me
so
too.
Glad he's out.
On the restart, Hamilton would have won the championship. Verstappen couldn't get past all those cars with those lap cars with those. I think two laps to go.
Right.
And get out through all that traffic, but Michael Massey, no, let the lap cars clear.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with that is, I mean, it's done. There's nothing new about it.
It's just like, yeah.
But the 2022 car was supposed to be more like whatever, and Verstappen has 10 wins. Like, oh, we're going to make the
13. Cars. Vettel has 13. No, wait. Schumacher has 13.
Schumacher and Vettel do.
Vettel have 13. I think I think Verstappen can break the record.
He could. I think he'd have to win, obviously, three. But what is there, four or five races left? No. There's like more than that. There's Mexico.
We still have USA left.
Yeah, they have USA, they have Mexico. Where do they race next? Monza. Ferrari's home race.
I still think the Red Bull cars, you know, I think Red Bull, they have the straight line speed.
And that's all basically Monza is. Hold on. But I think that Verstappen could take it. But I think that Red Bull is going to take the driver's championship, the constructor's championship. Verstappen is going to take his second straight World Drivers Championship.
So, you have Italy this weekend. Then you have Russia.
They're not racing in Russia this year.
Oh, yeah. My fault, everybody. Yeah, they're not racing in Russia this year.
Yeah.
And then you have the Singapore Grand Prix. And then,
I believe it's COTA after that.
Yeah. And then, let me check.
Oh, the Brazilian Grand Prix
is later. And then Abu Dhabi.
I don't know. I forgot about that one.
I know that, you know, Brazilian, you got Abu Dhabi. Saudi Arabia got moved up.
Yeah, so what is there, five races left?
Yeah, something like that. So, there's something like that. I still think that, I think Verstappen can break the record. I hope it'd be cool to see that. It'd be really cool to see Verstappen break it, because it hasn't been broken, and we're tied in a couple of years since Vettel. Man, Vettel's days at Red Bull from 2010 to 2013 were fantastic.
Crazy.
So, history making. Yeah, Mercedes had a shot to win. When they pitted Russell and left Lewis out there on older tires and they were going to be cold, I don't know if Mercedes would have won the race, but they would have had a better shot if they lined Hamilton, then Russell, and then Verstappen being third, because then that puts a barrier in the way for Verstappen to win the race. But they pitted Russell, and Russell ended up finishing P2. I think that P2 was, the most that you could probably get out of the Mercedes car that at the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But I still think that Lewis had the car to win. He was frustrated on the radio. It was a rough day for Mercedes fans. But I think Mercedes is going to win a race this year. I hope Brazil, Lewis Hamilton has had a lot of success at Brazil. I mean, 2008 championship. He passed Tim O'Glock for, I think it was, I don't even know, eighth place. And he beat Felipe Massa to the Drivers' Championship by only 1 point. So he's had success there. And he won last year at Brazil.
And he had that moment, I believe, in 2020 where he, it was 2019 or 2020 where he won the sprint and won, came from last place in qualifying because he did DNF in qualifying.
That was last season.
I didn't think they did sprints last year.
Yeah, they did. They did a sprint. He started.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and he qualified.
Oh, that's right. And then he won the race. But going back to the Netherlands real quick, just to touch on that, it was an interesting weekend. I mean, you had that flare that was thrown on the track, which I think is completely idiotic. I'm glad I heard there was a fan who, like, dumped, like, beer on him. So, like, the marshals knew who he was. So shout out to that
fan.
Shout
out to that fan. Yeah. We need to get him on the show. No gas, no brakes.
Yeah, we need to get him. Turn 7 in the racing line. There was a bunch of pigeons.
Yeah.
None of the pigeons were like hit. In the F1 world, I believe in the F2 world, there was a couple that were hit.
Pigeons.
They were in the racing line.
Yeah.
At the track, which is a crazy thing. Zandvoort, crazy track in the Netherlands. But Verstappen wins his home race 2 years in a row. But that's really going to do it for our show today.
Yep.
Landon, any closing notes before we outro the show?
All right, folks. This is what I got.
Get 25 seconds.
I know. All right. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today on All Gas, No Brakes. Hope everyone has a fantastic day. Don't forget to tune into All Gas, No Brakes every Wednesday with Trey Hanna, Owen Pulley, and myself from 8:30 to 9:15 a.m. See you guys in the next episode. Goodbye. Remember, this is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.